Welcome to our tea podcast. This is season two, episode number four. We have a very special guest today, Brad Hedlund, who is very well known in the industry. If you have been in the networking security space, you probably would have known him or read his blogs from the Cisco UCS days. He moved around to VMware, AWS, and now with Aviatrix. So a very good guest to have a casual conversation with in terms of how he sees things changing in the cloud networking security and overall data center networking security, how things have evolved. So very lucky to have Brad as part of Aviatrix and in general, as part of our peer who is driving transformation and in thought leadership into the cloud networking and security space. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Newman.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, John, it's good to be here. I'm really happy to be a part of Aviatrix and, you know, it's, as you mentioned, Newman, it's been kind of a long journey to get here, and I thought maybe today we could talk a little bit about, you know, some of those things about what's been happening and kind of how I ultimately arrived here and what I really think is going to be kind of the next big thing in networking architecture.
Absolutely. And this is, we always ask our guest one question initially. This is like, we called it a tea podcast because both me and John, we love tea as opposed to coffee. We do coffee as well, but what do you like to drink? Are you a tea guy or a coffee guy?
Well, now I'm a big tea guy. I used to be a big coffee guy. So when I do something, I go hard, and I used to have coffee all day long. And, you know, I guess I just got sick of it. I don't know. You get to a point where you know, you're not just enjoying it anymore. And I arrived at that moment with coffee. And then, so now I drink tea, and it's actually much better. I wish I would have done it all along, actually.
What sort of tea do you like? What, any particular brand or flavor? Or?
Well, I like green tea, unsweetened green tea, and hot. So I like a hot green tea. But these days I'm liking the matcha green tea lattes from Starbucks. So they're getting a lot of my money these days.
Oh, good grief. This is the newfangled tea on the old-fashioned English breakfast tea.
So that's great. So Brad, I think so. Maybe, you know, tell us about, you know, how you started your, you know, networking journey. I think you started with then eventually you ended up in Cisco, and, you know, people actually know a lot about you from how clear and well articulated your content and blogs were. And it really helped a lot of people who were starting the journey or who were, you know, sort of architecting the data centers, leveraging those content that you created. So tell us about your journey and in general about what are the various inflection points that you have seen over the years, going from, you know, data center all the way to then you went to VMware as well. Then you ended up in AWS for 3-4 years, and now you're at Aviatrix. So what has been your journey so far, and what are the different transformations or inflection points that you're seeing as part of your career so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for my career, I never really had like a grand plan. When I finished high school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And it took me a while to figure that out. And then I found out one day I really liked computers. So I went to a tech school and I learned all about computers and technology. And then I still didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I got into computers and then things just kind of happened and I kind of rolled with it. Like, I was working at a place as a Windows Server administrator. I had all the Microsoft certifications, and then the Cisco guy just up and walked out one day, and we had a bunch of customers that needed help. And so they said, well, we need a Cisco guy. And I said, sounds pretty cool. I'll try it out. And then from that day forward, it just really, that's when I really found I really love networking. I really love, you know, connecting things and, you know, just making things happen. And so from that day on, I kind of found out that I'm going to be a network guy, and I just really dived into all the Cisco certifications, and then working at customers and partners. And then, you know, I finally ended up at Cisco, and it was a lot of fun. And I found myself, you know, with my computing background and now with the networking, that I really seem to find that natural fit in the enterprise data center where you've got the systems that are running the important business applications, connecting to the network, and all of the complexities and all of the things that need to be done to build a good architecture in the enterprise data center. I really felt that that was kind of my sweet spot, and I really loved it. And, you know, I started just writing down notes of things that I thought were cool, and I put them out there on a blog. I didn't expect anybody to ever read it. I just thought, oh, I'll put this out there so that I can have some notes to go read and I'm not going to lose them. And then, you know, people started reading it. And what I found was that when I would read things or when I'd read documentation, that I didn't really, it took me a while to actually to understand it myself. And so I would have to read things several times to really understand it. And then I thought, well, I'm going to write this down the way that I would have been able to understand it had I read it just one time. So I just started doing that. And then I would make a diagram around it too. I always felt like diagrams were just really the best way. You know, a diagram is worth 1,000 words, just like a picture is worth 1,000 words. Mm. So I started putting those out there. And just by writing things down the way that I would have liked to have read them the first time, just really seemed to resonate with people. So yeah, the blog became pretty successful and had a lot of fun with it. And I've always, you know, I've never, people say, well, Brad, you really seem to go to the right places at the right time. You know, I was at Cisco and then I went to VMware with NSX and then AWS and now Aviatrix. And I've never really seen it that way. I've always just felt like, you know, I see things happening and I see, you know, a change in the architecture, and I really want to be a part of that. And I really want to learn it and be able to help explain it to other people when I finally understand it myself.
You know, Brad, what you said about, you know, fewer words, you know, diagram, et cetera, so true, especially amongst, you know, technical people, engineers, et cetera. You know, I've seen so many times people put together 20, 30, 40 page documents and expecting, you know, readers to have the time to sit down and read it and digest it and understand it. The only thing that they're good for is as a doorstop, you know. If you can't say it all, you know, in one or two pages, don't bother, because you're not never going to get it across to people. You
know? Yeah. So Brad, one thing about your journey, right? And you mentioned that you have been in Cisco, then VMware NSX, then you spent AWS, and mostly it's around, you know, and now with Aviatrix, right? It's about, you know, the purpose built architecture platform, right? With deeper functionality that customers adopt. So how do you see, you know, that evolution that you mentioned about also translated into the platform that is relevant for certain of those eras? So how do you see that connection between the two things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's always these big kind of architectural shifts that happen in enterprise data center networking. There's been several over the last decade or so, and it really resolves around sort of a problem. You know, you get to a point where things become too complex and too unmanageable, and the architecture needs to change to make things better and simpler. And in that, a new platform arises, and that platform, you know, that provides that deep functionality, kind of that single point of contact. And most importantly, I think it was mentioned, is a repeatable architecture. Like, the foundation of automation is the fact that you've got something that you can repeat over and over again. And so these network, these platforms provide that repeatable architecture. So I'll give you one example. So around 2008, you had the data center network, and you had everything was, the center of gravity was physical servers. And so you had physical servers with Ethernet adapters, 1 gig and 10 gig. And then you had fiber channel adapters in that same server. And they had, you know, the 16 gig fiber channel. And then you had some umbilical cords into virtualization. So VMware was making its way into the data center. It wasn't quite the center of gravity, but there was virtualization there. So now you had to put virtualization on top of this server with a bunch of cables and a bunch of adapters. And it was all becoming pretty unmanageable and complex. So the big architecture shift at that time was to converge everything, to put everything on one adapter, an Ethernet adapter that does fiber channel and Ethernet. Mm-hmm. And it configures the server at the same time. And to create a repeatable architecture, there's a platform like Cisco UCS where you could define a template and say, here's what my server is going to look like. Here's a template. And then you can just go stamp and repeat that And this single template configured both your server configuration as well as your network. So it was really a beautiful thing. I loved it a lot. I did a lot of blogging about kind of all of the impact that had on the architecture of the data center. And so that was a really big thing. And so I really loved that, the repeatable aspect of it. And then as we moved in later, so now that you've got this converged computing and Ethernet, now VMware and virtualization sort of now becomes the center of gravity in the data center with umbilical cords to physical. So as more and more of the core business applications are running on virtualization, and you now have a big focus on all of the configuration complexity of building virtual networks. And that got really unwieldy and unmanageable. You would have these servers with thousands of VMware port groups and people running around to make sure that the right port group was mapped to the right VLAN and the right VLAN was set up on the right switch port. And it was just a big mess and a nightmare. So that really brought the architecture shift of network virtualization. And so that's when I moved to VMware to really be a part of that network virtualization movement where, mm-hmm. You have a platform like NSX, which again is that networking platform with deep functionality that allows you to have this repeatable architecture where you can just ask the platform to create a logical network for you and go instantiate that in the network. And so that was NSX and that was something I loved and blogged about a lot too. And so, there you had, again, another example of a platform that was purpose-built for this architecture transformation that allowed you to have a simple, repeatable architecture for what was at the time, the core architecture.
Great. And then, at that point, I think cloud happens, right? The cloud happened. And I think if you look at both the UCS and then the fiber channel evolution and then NSX, that was meant for compute and applications running in private data centers or in data centers. And now, people are moving to the cloud. And obviously I think you shifted. And I think it's a big transformation. It's not, NSX was good because it improved the way people were doing their data center networking and security. But then it was still private data centers, still, one way of doing a certain business. But now with cloud transformation, things have evolved a lot and it's actually moving massively. All the critical applications are moving into the cloud. So I think you moved to the AWS and obviously then you're here at Evatrix. So what was the difference between, let's say, that private data center world and then you moved to AWS? Maybe share some experience about how you found AWS and also, what were you doing in AWS and how this connection back to Evatrix and which will basically another way of how, as you said, right, purposeful build platform to meet a certain business need in the cloud era.
Yeah, so around 2015, so at VMware with NSX, the battle at that time was really, public cloud was really coming on strong and enterprises were starting to really look at it closely. So there was this battle of kind of private cloud versus public cloud. And you had these people who wanted to build the best possible private cloud and say, you don't need to use the public cloud because we can build a private cloud that does all the great automation and simplicity of the public cloud. And it's going to be on-prem and it's going to be all secure and everything. Well, that was a valiant effort, but the public cloud and its ability to scale, its economies of scale, mm-hmm. The pace of innovation really was able to provide a simple and usable architecture for these customers. Whereas the public the private cloud was still kind of struggling with getting that the whole stack stood up properly. You might fix the networking with NSX, but you've got a lot of other pieces to a cloud stack other than just networking. So I could see that happening. I could see that, all right, public cloud is where things are going to go. We can see it happening. And AWS is the number one and pretty much the only cloud at the time. So I said, I want to go and be a part of that. I want to learn what the public cloud is about. So I went to AWS, not to be a networking person, but to be a generalist. I wanted to learn all of the things, mm-hmm. all of the services. So I joined the enterprise support team, and I was assigned to enterprise customers, enterprise support, to help them with any problem or any architecture questions that they would have. And then I would have to learn, you know, either how to answer it myself or find folks within the organization that can help the customer answer the question. So I really felt like I got a broad view of what the public cloud is made of and why customers are using it and kind of what the, you know, long-term capabilities will be for it. So I did that for a while and it was a really great experience. I kind of felt like I wanted to take a step back and kind of step out of the networking limelight for a while. And I just wanted to really kind of get back to fundamentals around this big transformation to public cloud and see it from a broad point of view.
Mm-hmm. And Brad, coming from the on-prem world, whether it be, you know, physical or virtual servers, et cetera, deep understanding of networking constructs, capabilities, moving to an AWS where they had much more basic networking security constructs. How did you think about that? How did you feel about that? At AWS, who are still the giant in the cloud world, right? Why don't they have those same capabilities that enterprises are used to on-prem, but when they've moved to the cloud, it's, the network and security are like second-class citizens?
It's a great question, John. And I think the reason for that is, and what I learned at AWS, as being a generalist at AWS, is that the cloud service provider is not really in the business to give you a data center. They're in a much different level. So you have the cloud service providers at like AWS and Azure. They're kind of at this. They're having an epic war with each other, and the war is not about providing an enterprise a better networking feature set. It's more about being a core part of the business application. So things like artificial intelligence and machine learning and IoT and data analytics and being data lakes, those are the things that the cloud service providers are focused on and where are they applying all of their innovation. The network at the cloud service provider is kind of a necessary evil. They're going to provide you the most basic functionality to help you use to get you connected to these higher level services that they really want you to use and that, that they're investing all of their innovation cycles into, like, you know, their analytics and artificial intelligence, things like that. So that's why the networking feature set that you find at an AWS Azure is very basic, because it's all just about basic connectivity. That's not the business they're in. Whereas when you came from the on-prem world, when you were, looking at Cisco and VMware, they were in the business of providing a data center for you, and they were, in this epic battle, Cisco and VMware, over a better networking feature set. So, you had like Cisco ACI versus NSX, and you had this tremendous acceleration of networking capabilities because that's what those vendors really cared about. The AWS's and Azure's world, they care about different things, and the network is going to be good enough to get you basically connected to the services that they really want you to enjoy about their clouds.
Right. Yeah. So do you think then enterprises are either being a little bit naive or ignorant, or they just don't care about the networking anymore and they'll take just basic constructs from the CSP, and forget what they had on-prem in terms of capabilities and feature functionality?
No, I don't think that's the case at all, John. I think it's really a matter of like when the actual center of gravity moves. So when the center of gravity suddenly becomes the cloud, then it becomes a lot more important. So we had a conversation earlier. I think I was listening to the prior podcast with the other guest talking, and you were talking about, steering traffic back to on-prem to go through firewalls. I think an example of like security. Where is your core security infrastructure? That is pretty much an example of where the center of gravity is. So once you move your security infrastructure into the cloud, like your firewalls, now you really have to get really serious about how you're going to do network security, traffic steering and policy and segmentation and user access. And now your users are connecting to the cloud and not the data center. And then you take all of your branch offices and you start connecting them to the cloud. And then all of your partners and customers start connecting to the cloud. So now the cloud's the center of gravity. And now it really hits home that, you know, I need some deeper visibility and deeper feature sets from the network. And the CSPs are not giving it to me because they're too busy working on the next greatest thing in artificial intelligence or IoT or machine learning.
Yeah, and I think that there's an additional angle to this is when CSPs are building, right, they are not the enterprise grade networking security DNA people. They are the people who are focusing on compute and services. They will build the basic constructs, but they're not here to understand what your specific traffic engineering needs are, what your specific security needs are, because they have to build a basic infrastructure for millions of customers and focus on, you know, value-added services and compute. And I think this is something that also a lot of people missed early on, because let's say I was talking to a partner, Accenture, a while ago, and they have been in a cloud migration and app modernization business for almost 5 years. But they said that they almost the networking piece was the last one to get discussed early on when people were moving to the cloud, because there was a lot of, I would say, perception in terms of the CSP will provide me these advanced capabilities. And the needs were not that sophisticated, as Brad mentioned, because center of gravity was always the data center. But now with center of gravity in the cloud, it is becoming paramount. The networking and security is becoming foundational, because if you don't have the right security and right architecture, you are not able to productize your application also. And I think you yourself, John, have seen a lot of projects that you worked in your previous job where 2-3 years that you spent went down the drain because it was not compliant to certain security aspects or was not architected properly. So I think the realization is now coming in that network is still foundational. We are seeing AV tricks being the sort of cloud networking security repeatable architecture on things like Azure Arc or Google Anthos, which is a multi-cloud play as well. So you will start to see that more and more customers will get to see this and they start to value, even though that at the end of the day, it's all about applications and users. But if you don't have the right security, you don't have the right networking, nothing works. So one of the things that I wanted to ask Brad is, you know, what actually, pushed you from being in AWS, who is the leader in cloud, networking, cloud space. Obviously, you were pretty happy there. What actually pushed you to look at Aviatrix, and what actually resonated with you that sort of forced you to join Aviatrix here?
Sure. Yeah. When I was at AWS, I noticed Aviatrix, I would say about a year or two ago. And at the time, I saw Aviatrix as a company that was, you know, providing a platform to make the capabilities that a customer could do in the AWS network better, and overcome some of the limitations that customers were facing with the AWS networking, like, you know, scale in terms of number of routes and other things like that. So it was interesting. But my thought at the time was, well, AWS is going to, fix these problems. And I'm not really sure, you know, where that leaves Aviatrix. But as the years went on, I saw that wasn't the case. Like there's a lot of things that customers were asking for AWS to fix or to do that were just not being delivered on time. One example would be, the ability to, have a very specific route in the VPC, a more specific route, and customers have been asking that for a long time. And, it's just, I don't even think it's there yet. It might be coming soon, but, the customers have been asking for these features for a long time and they're not getting it. Because what I said earlier, the cloud service provider is more focused on building these higher level services. So I saw that at one point. So I noticed that happening, that the features were not being delivered at the pace customers wanted them. And then number two, there was a big movement to using other clouds as well. So Microsoft Azure and Oracle. And I saw more examples of more customer conversations where Azure and Google and OCI were really, a part of what the customer's consideration was. And then so it really occurred to me, like, there needs to be a networking platform that spans not just one cloud, but multiple clouds. You know, any good networking platform is able to connect to anything. So in the on-prem days, you'd have a networking platform that could connect to 10 gig, 100 gig Ethernet, 40 gig Ethernet. Even going back older than that, you'd have a router that could connect Ethernet, token ring, or serial. Well, today, the networking platform that is going to, you know, bridge multiple clouds together should be able to connect anything. And the new, really the new interface, the new router interface or network interface is a cloud service provider. I should have a networking platform that has an interface for AWS, for Azure, for Google, for OCI, what have you. So seeing all that happen together, and you know, Aviatrix just really had this perfect position where they could take what they had already done in AWS, you know, provide this platform to do better things in AWS. And it was really easy to, for them to extend it to other clouds and that repeatable architecture as we've been talking about. So to me, that's where I said, this looks really interesting now because of multi-cloud. And I can see now that the cloud service providers are not really invested in making the most awesome feature set possible. And it makes sense why they're not, because they're focused on other things.
Yeah. And that's why they partner with us. And that's why I think if you ask Azure has this 80-20 rule where they say, okay, we'll do 80% of the technology and services work. And then we let partners like Aviatrix, who DNA is, let's say, networking security, rely on them and partner with them to provide the value-added services.
Hey, Brad, I just realized, you know, we've taken up more than we thought of your time. We know you got another call, but just before we start wrapping up, Brad, what do you do in your spare time?
Oh, geez, my spare time. So, you know, with the pandemic and everything, a lot has changed. I used to go out a lot and do, you know, sports like golfing and things like that, but I've been staying inside a lot. And when I was staying inside a lot because of the pandemic, you know, on lockdown, I started to get into 3D graphics and design, learning how to create models and apply textures to them and then actually render them. And it's funny thing is, you know, in doing that, I have to put these massive GPUs in my computer and they get really hot and they run high. And I thought, man, I should be really doing this in the cloud. So then I figured out how to use GPUs in the cloud to do rendering of, you know, these big scenes. And, you know, it all just sort of makes sense. And then here I am looking at, well, who's got the better, you know, pricing and GPUs. And I start looking at other clouds and then, you know, so the whole thing kind of, you know, parallels with, you know, this whole multi-cloud journey that I've been on. It's kind of funny.
You need a network. You can recommend one.
Exactly.
So Brad, any last, maybe couple of key takeaways that you want to leave the audience with?
Yeah, absolutely. I think networking is really cool again. So there. I think there was a time there where networking engineers had some uncertainty about what their future was like. And I'll admit that I was kind of in that category too. You know, when the public cloud is coming on big, everything's going to the public cloud, and the public cloud is saying, you know, don't worry about it. Everything's easy here, simple. You don't really need any networking engineers here. We've done that for you. Well, you know what? We found out that that's not true. As the center of gravity has moved, it's multiple clouds. It is important, and networking is still something that has to be taken very seriously and done right with the right architecture. And you know, now the network engineers can really step up to the plate and really bring value to an organization by being that person that is able to build a lasting architecture for their enterprises that works in one cloud and many clouds. And it's going to help them to, you know, use all of these services that a cloud provider has. You know, cloud provider X has got a really great service. Cloud provider Y has got another really great service. You should be able to help your enterprise use all of the services in any cloud, no matter where they are. So I think, you know, final thoughts, it's really awesome to be in the networking field. And Aviatrix is really a great company with, you know, the perfect platform for this transition that we're in right now.
That's fantastic, Brad.
And I think I would also recommend for people who wants to learn and they want to upskill their cloud networking security skills, go for Aviatrix certified programs, the associate, the professional, the cloud ops. You can search it on our website. It's not just about Aviatrix, it's about you as a networking security professional. How can you ramp up your skills to be relevant for your business, right? It needs to be in a more cloud way, infrastructure as a code automation way. And then this is what we cover into these programs. So if you get a chance to look at that as well.
Brad, it's been really great having you on here. You know, thank you for sharing your experiences. Very insightful, very encouraging. Appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It's been great. Look forward to being on other podcasts. So
yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks.